The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Padraig Horkin, he of the Horkin Garden Centre family, horticulturalist, graduate of the National Botanic Gardens, is on the line. Padraig, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Pat, from a beautiful sunny west of Ireland. It's absolutely gorgeous down here.
Well, it's obviously blue from horizon to horizon because it's lovely
sure
here
is.
As well. So many questions coming in, Padraig, and I know you have a few suggestions, including one that I wanted to ask you about, starting a salad bar so I can have fresh leaves for my summer salads.
Yeah, and it's always a popular thing to do at this time of year, Pat, as we're coming into early summer. It's a great time to plant up simple plants like lettuce leaves, cut lettuce, lamb's lettuce, or any of the salad leaves that we enjoy right through the summer, and simply plant them up in a window box or patio planter. And my advice is always just to trim the leaves that you're going to use. So rather than cutting the complete head of lettuce, just simply peel off the leaves or trim them with a sharp scissors. They'll regrow again right through the summer. So you're actually using the same plants for several months right through the summer. So simply take off the leaves that you're actually going to use in your salad, and it cuts down on the waste. But this is the time of year for sowing the seed of speedy veg, or indeed for planting plants of all our salad crops that are available in garden centres at the moment. And you can simply mix many of those salad leaves, Pat, with some herbs as well, or maybe a strawberry plant or some edible flowers, all in the one planting box.
Okay, that sounds like a very good idea. Now, the questions: when is the best time to scarify a lawn using a hired scarifier, and to what depth should I scarify?
Okay, well, so the scarification of lawns is that you get a special machine that you hire in your local hire shop, and it literally tears the grass and removes a lot of the old thatch and dead moss. Now, your lawn will look horrendous afterwards. You need to scarify at least down to inch and a half, because the thatch is underneath the soil. And this is the time of year to actually do it. After scarification, it's a good idea then to obviously rake the lawn, take off any debris, and give it a good lawn feed. Feed with a proprietary lawn fertilizer like the Zero Lawn Feed or Osmo Lawn Feed, because that'll green it up and feed it then for a further 3 months. But this is a great time of year to scarify lawns.
Every year my peony has gorgeous flower buds, but once they start opening, they go brown and look like they're dying. They never bloom fully. Any advice?
That's a problem called balling of peony roses, and it actually happens to ordinary roses as well, particularly if they're planted in shaded areas or they get a lot of moisture onto the buds when they're forming, because the buds just literally seal up and fail to open. So peony roses should be planted in an area where they're getting at least 4 to 6 hours of sunlight, and particularly if we get a very wet early summer period when peony roses are initiating their flower buds, they fail to open. So it's weather related and shade related, Pat, more than anything else.
Is it too late to plant potatoes? I'm a first timer, so I would appreciate any tips that Padraig can give.
Well, there's a great saying, Pat, that we can plant potatoes until the ash comes fully into leaf. And ash trees, as people know, don't come into leaf until the first week of May. So you have the full month of April, indeed the first week of May, to plant potatoes. And you will get potato seeds still available in your local garden centres. Varieties like British Queen and Golden Wonder, Rose Garden, there's some really brilliant varieties. A lovely variety called Vitabella, which is blight resistant, is an early variety, and this one I would advise planting now. So yes, you can continue to plant potatoes, vegetable plants, vegetable seed, onions, garlic and so on at this time of year.
From John: took out a boxwood hedge. I want to grow grass in its place, but I can't get the grass to take. The ground doesn't look the best. Can I dig something into the soil to rejuvenate it before I try to plant grass again?
Yeah, and grass will need between 5 and 6 inches of soil to be able to germinate and grow effectively in. So my advice really is go pop into your local garden centre. They'll have some topsoil, sieved topsoil in a bag. You simply spread it into the area, rake it in, a little bit of granulated fertiliser. And this weather at the moment is ideal for sowing grass seed, Pat. It'll germinate at 10 degrees Celsius, so it's absolutely perfect at the moment. Even with a little bit of frost at night time is no worry. So go ahead, get the soil in, get the seed scattered, and within 3 to 4 weeks it'll have germinated and come on.
Now, this one from Trish. I'm one of the many who has swapped Woody's for Zara over the pandemic and hasn't a clue regardening. I would like to ask Porig's advice about container size for my hydrangeas. They're very small plants, only about 30 centimetres in height. I have them in 20 centimetre pots. I'm wondering if this is too small. As a new city gardener who only has container options, I'm wondering, are there any hard and fast rules as to what size containers I should choose for whatever plant? That's from Trish.
Well, particularly for plants like hydrangeas, even in the name, hydro, Latin means water. And hydrangeas are one of these plants that suck up a huge amount of water, particularly when they come into flower. So hence, you need a large container that's able to hold quite a bit of compost. And my advice is to add some swell gel granules that we normally put into hanging baskets. Mix that through the compost when you're putting it when putting the new hydrangea plant into the container. So mix that through the compost. Hydrangeas would want a pot at least 80 centimetres in diameter and maybe anything up to 80 centimetres, 90 centimetres in height. So you need quite a large pot for hydrangeas. They're vigorous plants that use lots of water. So it depends on the plant patch. You have to pick the pot to suit the plant. Your local garden centre will give you super advice when you're selecting plants, the right type of pot to select. So for hydrangeas, as big as possible.
Therese asks, would you ask Portic what creeper he'd recommend for a pot on a west-facing garage wall, evergreen and with a scent if possible?
Oh, lovely. Well, I've two at the top of my head. So there's a lovely plant called star jasmine. It's an evergreen plant. It's called a plant. The Latin name is Tracheospermum jasminoides. Jasminoides, it's jasmine-like. So it produces beautiful white scented flowers right through the summer period. It retains the foliage. It's relatively fast growing. And the reason I like the star jasmine is in the winter patch, it goes a beautiful red blush colour. So the leaves turn from green to this blush red colour like a Virginia creeper, but it holds on to the leaves. So that's the star jasmine. And the other plant I would consider is one of the evergreen clematis, a lovely variety called Clematis armandii apple blossom. So it produces these apple blossom-like flowers that are richly scented, and both varieties are evergreen.
Can I put weeds on my compost heap, or will that result in those weeds spreading when I spread the compost? From Anne.
Yeah, so as a rule of thumb, when you're making compost, don't put any perennial weeds like dandelions or docks or nettles that have a root base that's going to just regrow again. And also weeds that are producing seed. Now, that'll be later on in the summer. So at this time of year, if you're scuffling light weeds like clickweed or any of the common weeds, they can be certainly put on the compost heap at this time of year. So the light seedlings. So avoid any perennial weeds. But if it's just light grass growth or light wheat growth, that'll compost perfectly down and it won't create any problems in the garden later on.
Can you ask Porrick if he knows of any way to get rid of wild garlic? It's an absolute pest in the garden. That's from Paul in Leakslip.
Oh, and it makes great pesto, Pat. It's a beautiful plant when it's grown in the right area. And we normally harvest the ransoms in at this time of year, even earlier. It can spread. If it's a small area, you can certainly dig it out. It grows from a bulb like normal garlic. But if it's very persistent and over a large area, you'll have to use a proprietary weed control. Something like the Weed Free 360 is effective on garlic at this time of year. Add a little bit of detergent washing up liquid to the mix when applying it and apply in a dry day. But do remember, make sure it doesn't get on to any ornamental plants. So if that's applied directly to the garlic, it will control it.
Okay, and a final one. Could Porrick recommend a nice tomato to grow in my conservatory? Something nice and juicy that would be good on a sausage sandwich.
Well, some of the sweet varieties, there's lovely varieties like Sweet 100, which is a really nice one. Super Sweet is another popular variety. Or Gardener's Delight. They're all really popular, easy to grow varieties. They do very well in greenhouses or tunnels or a conservatory area. And they'll produce beautiful sweet tomatoes by the middle of June.
Very good. Porrick Horkin, that's all we have time for. Thank you very much for joining us.